This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest this time, as he is every week, John Gizzi, political editor at Human Events, the National Conservative Weekly. And John, it's always great to have you with us.
It's always great to be here. Thanks for having me, Greg. This is a warm respite from that cold weather outside.
Well, it's funny. When 40 degrees is warm in Washington, you know it's been a pretty rough winter by D.C. standards. John, let's talk about the biggest political developments of the week. And I guess the biggest surprise, at least for most people, came on Monday when two-term Indiana Democratic Senator Evan Bayh announced he would not seek re-election, which definitely puts the Hoosier State in play, it would seem.
I would say so, and I might add that Evan Bayh must have hired Sarah Palin's press officer for this announcement, because once again, a political reporter's day off was rudely interrupted. That's what happened when Governor Palin resigned her office in Juneau last year. In the case of Evan Bayh, here was someone who was raised for politics, the son of a three-time senator, elected Secretary of State, Governor twice, and then U.S. Senator twice. My understanding was he had been very disappointed that Barack Obama did not name him as the vice presidential candidate. They were quite friendly in the United States Senate, and there was just nowhere else for him to go. In addition, polls from Indiana showed that someone who was born to politics also was facing his first ever difficult race. Congressman Mike Pence, who decided not to run, was actually leading him in polls. The two other Republican candidates, Marlon Stutzman and John Hostetler, a former congressman, shown to be in very competitive contests with Evan Bayh. So he chose the better part of valor and decided to leave. Whoever would have thought that Evan Bayh's successor would be decided in the Republican primary? But that's what's going to happen. He announced the day before the filing deadline he wasn't running. That means Indiana Democrats have no candidate, and their state convention will pick someone in June.
Well, that means they'll probably pick one of the perhaps Democratic congressmen in the state or someone else who might have done better than the woman who was trying to get her name on the ballot at the 11th hour there. Who do you think the Democrats will end up choosing, and who do you think will win the Republican primary there between Dan Coats and John Hostetler?
I'm going to bet on someone not known to the national audience but certainly known in Indiana. Bart Peterson, former mayor of Indianapolis, named by Indianapolis Magazine as one of the true future leaders of the Democratic Party in the Hoosier State. He was defeated for re-election in a major upset in 07, but he will finally get his chance to run for another office in 2010.
And the Republican?
Dan Coats, former senator who left the seat in 1998, is the prohibitive frontrunner. He's the establishment candidate. John Hostetler has a following, notably among the Tea Party crowd, and Senator Marlon Stutzman is considered an attractive and bright candidate in his early 30s from farm country. I'd say any of the three could be nominated, and it doesn't take a lot of courage to say that.
John, another primary on the Republican side we'll be watching closely comes August 24th. That's in Arizona when John McCain tries to secure the nomination for a potential fifth term in the Senate, but he's got a pretty stiff challenge now coming from former Congressman J.D. Hayworth.
Yes, and that may well explain why John McCain has backed away from some of the issues that used to send fits and sleepless nights to conservatives, notably his years-long crusade for campaign finance reform. I've known J.D. Hayworth since he came to the House in 1994. He took me on the House floor the day before he was sworn in along with his family, and we actually played the role of speaker and representative for his children, a warm memory. He's also been someone who's been out of office since he was unseated in 06 and in the area of radio. His record is conservative. He's most notably identified with the issue of illegal immigration. Whether that is enough to defeat a senator who's been in 24 years, someone known by 100% of Arizonans, and a former nominee for president, is difficult to fathom. My guess is John McCain will have a closer race than usual because he's always been at dagger's ends with his own primary voters, sometimes more than with Democratic voters. I say for now he survives.
That's a very important race, and we'll get your predictions as we get closer to that primary day. But right now you believe it'll be John McCain. John, real quickly on the departure front, because it's been several days since we had this announcement, but it happened right after you and I last talked, Patrick Kennedy deciding not to run for re-election from Rhode Island in the House.
Well, it didn't surprise me, and I believe when people spell out reasons that are personal, they're telling the truth. He's fought with the problem of addictions for a number of years, and that's well known. And the death of his father under very drawn-out circumstances obviously took its toll on young Mr. Kennedy. My own guess is that Republicans will make a spirited effort for his seat. There's even talk of the famous, or should I say infamous, former mayor of Providence, Buddy Cianci, now the city's most popular radio talk show host, coming back after leaving City Hall for a stint in the federal penitentiary. That will be a most interesting race. The national pundits, of course, pointing out that this is only the second time, the first being 2 years between John Kennedy's election as president and Ted Kennedy's election to the Senate, that a Kennedy has not been in either house of Congress since 1946. But fear not. Rumors are rampant. Congressman William Delahunt of Massachusetts will retire. And who is mentioned to run for his Cape Cod seat? Why, an assistant district attorney, 29-year-old Joseph P. Kennedy III. So the dynasty lives on.
John, real quickly, the stimulus celebrated its first birthday. It was quite a celebration at the White House, not so much in the Republican conference in either the House or Senate. Your grade for the stimulus 1 year later?
D-minus, and I'm being very generous. Look, the president himself said we haven't had all the results from it that we expected, and everyone is concluding that while it may have stabilized and held things together, it certainly hasn't created more jobs. To me, the worst commentary, or I should say the most poignant commentary, on the failure of pumping more tax dollars into the economy to create liquidity is that the president says we want a second stimulus package and more money. My response is just simple logic. If it didn't work the first time, why will it work a second time?
John, the last 30 seconds here. That's early part of the year. That means another CPAC conference. What are you expecting from the conservative gathering this year?
The conservative gathering this year, Greg, is going to be the most dramatic of all. As I'm sure other guests on your program have told you, there'll be more than 10,000 people, and American Conservative Union Chairman Dave Keene says that's the biggest CPAC since they started having them back in the early 70s. I think the straw vote on the Republican presidential candidate will be worth watching, and I think it will be interesting to see the reaction of more traditional conservatives and the newer Tea Party group. How well are they getting along? Is everyone on the same page? And I want the reaction to the new statement of conservatives known as the Mount Vernon Statement.
And, John, we'll keep track to see just how well those different factions do get along. That could tell us a lot about what will happen later this year in the midterms. Thanks so much for being with us.
Daring the cold and daring the different kinds of conservatives to say where they agree, I'm John Gizzi.
John Gizzi, political editor at Human Events, the National Conservative Weekly. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.